Welcome to the NS North Podcast. My name is Philip Kraskrein, and I'm joined tonight by my co-host, Dan Byers. How are you, Dan?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm great. And we are very pleased to have you listening on our sixth podcast in a series that we hope will introduce our attendees to the great speakers who will be presenting at NS North 2013. NS North is Ottawa's first independent iOS and Mac developers and designers conference. It will take place at the Ottawa Convention Center on April 19th to the 21st. In this podcast, we are delighted to have our speaker, Justin Miller, and he joins us now. How are you, Justin?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. Now, Justin, can you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I work for a company called Mapbox, mostly on iOS technology around our mapping tools and frameworks and hosting services for people to get basically custom maps into their apps and websites.
So this is something that they can use instead of the built-in stuff.
Right. So we do stuff ranging from tools to design custom maps, to ways of finding custom maps that other people have made, to hosting them, and then I work on iOS SDK developer tools.
Right, because this is not only about iOS. I mean, iOS and Android devices have built-in maps by Apple and Google, but other devices might not, or computers might not.
Correct. And so we do a lot of stuff around websites and as well any kind of customization you'd want to do, say, in place of Apple's maps or Google's maps now on iOS.
What would be an example of customization?
You can do a lot of different things, anything ranging from changing the colors of things. For example, if you want, you know, purple water or something like that, or you need a map that doesn't have roads or it has labels in Arabic, or you want to take it offline, that's another kind of customization, less than the visual side, but that's something we specialize in, and put a lot of tools around letting you either start with the app offline right out of the gate, or taking it, you know, on and offline intermittently.
That's awesome. How long have you been working with these guys?
So I've been full-time with Mapbox just a shade under 2 years, and I was doing a bit of freelance stuff with them for close to a year before that. But we go back, actually. I'm old friends with a lot of the guys there, 7-8 years. So it's a pretty solid crew.
And right on.
Yeah.
How big is the company?
We're about 25 people, I think, right now.
Wow.
We've just hired a couple new people. Most of the company's based in Washington, D.C., and then there are about a half dozen of us all individually remote, and so I'm holding down the Portland fort.
So you have to travel to D.C. on a regular basis, I guess.
Yeah, I'm there about every other month or so. I actually used to live there, and so it's kind of nice to go back and visit and go by the old haunts and that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm generally there every other month or so for about a week.
So you say that you work on the iOS side with the frameworks for Mapbox. Now, like, is that all open source stuff, or are you is it all closed for Mapbox?
Actually, everything we do is open source.
Oh, wow.
So this part we actually charge for is cloud services hosting of maps once you've designed them and need a reliable place to house them. But all the tools we work on the JavaScript stuff on the website, and then all the Cocoa stuff that I work on is all on GitHub. I actually do pretty much all of my work in the open every day, and you can kind of follow it along via GitHub, which is it's cool. I mean, it's cool to work that way, but it's also neat that, I mean, the GitHub exists and works for this kind of thing.
Yeah, that must it adds another element to your decisions and design decisions and your effort in general to make quality code and to always have somebody kind of looking over your shoulder to see what you're up to.
Yeah, that too. I've also found it really useful if I hit a crazy bug. Instead of having to just describe it or paste code snippets or whatever, I can just send people the ticket and be like, hey, can you help me with this? What do you think? So that's been kind of cool. It's neat to just have that kind of out in the open.
Cool. Are you the only one working on iOS, or is there a couple of other people?
I am, yeah, the only one at Mapbox. Right. So, I mean, we definitely leverage the open source nature of stuff, and I get patches and pull requests and that kind of thing. But,
right.
Yeah, I'm the oddball doing the iOS stuff.
But, yeah, because you don't get the benefit of code review unless you, you know, go open source.
Right, so, yeah.
In which
yeah.
case you will get code reviews because people will just keep looking at your stuff, hopefully.
Right, yeah. There's that, and also basically every other kind of SDK out there is a much larger team. For doing maps on iOS, and so that's another benefit of leveraging the open source side of things. To my knowledge, ours is the only real open source one, and I get to leverage the help of, you know, open source contributors.
So you mentioned the cloud hosting as a revenue generator, because you know, the company can't exist without some kind of revenue, I guess.
Yeah.
But do you have are the maps themselves also open source, or?
They can be. It's kind of up to the creator. It's
I see.
Yeah, so we do. You can kind of do it two ways. We put out like a worldwide base layer, we call it, of maps, and it's based largely off of OpenStreetMap data.
Right.
And so we have that for coverage for the whole world down to like the street level. And on the web, you can customize the colors of that, or you can actually do some stuff Retina or non-Retina, and edit this through kind of a web control panel. And then change the colors and saturation, that kind of thing. Turn that around and use it in iOS or on the web. But also we do some tools, and this is something else that I work on. We do a tool called TileMill, and it works on Windows, Linux, and Mac. And so I work a lot on the Mac version of it. And that lets you take any kind of source geodata, whether that's like JSON, GeoJSON stuff, or KML, or this file format called shapefiles, which are basically like vector data files. And you can throw all that into TileMill and make your own maps. And so this would be an example of one of those ways you could customize by turning features on or off, or going really micro with a map, or doing a, you know, a wide scale worldwide map and kind of doing it very custom. You pull all these different data sources in and you style them kind of like styling CSS, and then you render that out into map tiles. And so our TileMill tool does all that stuff.
Wow, and pretty much anyone could start using that, I guess, right?
It's yeah that's our approach has kind of been to make it really easy to get started, even if you're not a mappy kind of person, and so yeah, it's we're trying to make it approachable and do a lot of tutorials and make it fun too, and make it look good.
That's awesome.
Would you say that mobile is your heavily growing area for your service? Like, do you have quite a bit of users in mobile, or is there still a fair chunk of your user base in web still?
Well, I think the large majority's in the web, but we do have a fair number of apps using this stuff as well, and it's definitely growing. I mean, people are definitely interested, especially at that offline component. We get a lot of people coming on board or on the support forum and just wanting to know if they can use it offline or how they can and that kind of thing. So that's big. And
right, if you're doing an app for like a park or something of a certain size, well, then you could have the whole map inside the app and not take hopefully a whole lot of space and not require a network connection, so you could have it on an iPod Touch.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the beginning points in this stack we built up was this format we came up with that is a neat way of, I don't want to do too much of a technical dive here, but this it's a way of storing these map tiles. We basically just stick them in SQLite, and then you can use that as a map database to read the imagery off. Because maps are made of these tiles that are stitched together, and we just figured out a way to efficiently move them around and make them work cross-platform too. And so,
nice.
That has the added benefit of being kind of this little binary bundle you could do in-app purchase with, or you know, little packages whether you purchase or not to download different areas, so like different parks or things like that.
And that would be for your user's point of view, that they would be able to do that easily.
Right. Yeah. It lets them download sets of maps or map sets that are geographic areas or increased levels of depth or something like that. And it kind of makes that easier for the developer to provide that to the users.
And you're giving all of that away, essentially.
Yeah. That's an open source format. And we actually do the spec for it on GitHub as well as Markdown. And we have a couple different specs we've come up with in the geo community for that kind of stuff. So,
but you mentioned IAP as well, though. Is there an option to... How did the IAP fit into that? In-app purchase?
Yeah, so if you had, say you were like a, I don't know, like a park administrator running a bunch of different parks, like city parks or something like that, you could have different maps, you know, one for each park, and then you could, say, have in-app purchase to download a map of each of those. In, you know, so you'd have like a free app maybe, and then paid purchase of maps. Or you'd make the app be able to work with the online service and then have in-app purchase to unlock the ability to take the thing offline in this file format, something like that.
Oh,
yeah, because it's just a binary bundle and it's necessarily a SQLite database.
Yeah, basically. And the SDK just talks to it and pulls stuff out of it just as if it were doing independent network requests.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
So based on your on this discussion on maps that we've been having, I guess you have some tremendous expertise in it, and you're also we announced that you're going to be bringing some of that expertise to NS North in your talk in April. Your talk title was maps. I think you've heard of them or something like that.
Yeah. I was just kind of tap into the give Apple a little ribbing maybe.
That seems to have subsided though, but yes. That was kind of the point.
So what was kind of the outline that you were thinking of doing for your talk there? Would you like to discuss that at all? Or?
Yeah, sure. So I thought, I think it's a very useful talk, even if you're not doing anything with mapping. And so I kind of wanted to emphasize that bit. The stuff I want to talk about is kind of the low-level guts of how this stuff is all made. With the added benefit of it being all open source, you can just go check it out yourself. But I did do a fair amount of stuff with Core Graphics and Core Animation for, you know, tile compositing and rendering of tiles and vector features on maps and all that kind of stuff. And so what I wanted to do in my talk is kind of do a deep dive in some technical aspects of our SDK and what goes into or what would go into building a replacement for MapKit, because that's what we've got. I thought that'd be a neat, useful bit. And I want to make it kind of interesting for folks who might not know those particular frameworks as well, to get a sense of what those things do, like Core Graphics, if you've never gone down to that level of drawing in contexts and things like that. I wanted to kind of give a look and a peek into what that looks like, but also have some useful stuff for folks who might be Core Graphics.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a huge area, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, so there's going to be quite a few graphics talk at NS North, but they're going to be in so completely different areas that it's going to be so awesome.
Well, it's a visual medium, so.
Definitely. All right. One thing we didn't talk about a little bit, but I'd like to touch on is your interests outside of the iOS and Mac community. It's like, what do you do when you're not at your computer or looking at maps or something like that? You obviously travel a lot, but do you do anything interesting in between those times that you are sitting at the desk?
I definitely like to travel and do it for fun as well, but probably my big interest these days is photography. I do a lot of outdoor, mostly wildlife photography. And just photography in general is something I've been interested in for a long time. I like shooting conferences and geek events, you know, tech community type events as well.
Great, bring your camera.
Oh yeah, I will.
I'm sure he will, given the gear that he has.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, here I stand with my little Panasonic GF1, and I just take casual shots, but they turn out great because, you know, it's all about the lens and the glass that you put in it.
No,
yes.
Yeah, no skill whatsoever. It's just it's the equipment.
So how long have you been into photography then?
Oh, I've been interested for a long time. I really kind of got serious about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I try to shoot. Wildlife photography is kind of different because you got to get out there. It doesn't come to you, so it's tricky. But the handy thing is you usually want to be outdoors before the sun comes up, and so it works well with work hours.
I can do that before
I get cracking on things in the morning. So,
it also probably works well with Portland,
yeah,
given the size of the city and everything. So
Yeah, it's a great – Portland's a nice place for just the outdoors in a urban environment. It's pretty cool.
So have you been to any exotic places to do photography, or are you just sticking kind of close to home?
Not really, since I've gotten into it seriously. I will actually, I'll be in Costa Rica the week before NS North, so that will probably be my first first real chance since I've gotten into it and gotten some serious gear. So, inside of a week, I'll be in Costa Rica and Canada. So, should be fun.
Yeah, right on.
I should be recovered by then.
From jungles to from jungles to temperate climate, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that should wrap up this episode of the NS North podcast. Thank you very much for joining us, Justin.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
It was a pleasure to have you, man. Thank you.
We hope that our listeners enjoyed this episode, and if you haven't purchased your conference pass yet, keep in mind that attendance is limited and tickets are selling fast. If you would like to know more about the conference, you can visit our website at nsnorth.ca for all the details. So, Justin, where should people go to find out all about you?
These days, probably the best bet is, on my section of the blog on Mapbox. So mapbox.com. I tend to post about the iOS stuff going on there. My somewhat now defunct personal website from my indie days is codesorcery, S-O-R, .net. And if you want to look at my photo stuff, that's it. That's kind of active too. I'm blogging there these days. Mallorn, M-A-L-L-O-R-N, imagery.com. So three URLs for you.
And you're perfect. On Twitter too, I guess?
Oh, yeah. I am on Twitter. INCANUS77.
Awesome. And if you haven't got that, you can just go to our speakers page. And all that information is there too. Good. All right. Well, we hope to see you all in Ottawa in April. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, man.
And thanks again, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
And see you soon.